And welcome back to Success Made to Last International Trendsetter Series. I'm Rick Tocchini. This series is about the art and science of marketing, its reinvention, the harnessing of rapid change, giving you, the listener, emerging ideas from around the globe to help your company create your best version. Our host is Deborah Malone, marketing pioneer and guru, highly opinionated, daring, and a trendsetter. She is the internationalist, connecting people and ideas in international advertising, media, and marketing through intelligent content. Join Deborah today in the pursuit of reshaping the future of marketing. Here's Deborah Malone.
Thanks, Rick, and welcome to another internationalist trendsetter show. Today's guest is Manos Spanos, Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer of Brand Marketing for the Yogurt Business Unit at Danone North America. He's been motivated throughout his career by the intersection of marketing, innovation, and technology. Plus, he's been an early adopter of artificial intelligence, algorithms, and other technology tools that not only generate efficiencies and sustainable results, but also power content creation and execution. In his role at Danone, Manos has demonstrated that storytelling can thrive in today's tech-first world. He describes this as an art meets science tango. He reminds us that content is not about the stuff that you make, but about the stories you tell. Manos believes in human intelligence working hand in hand with artificial intelligence, but he emphasizes that what really matters are two simple things. Show up where your audience is and stand out in a way that will get you noticed. Today we're talking about Manos, about the role of good old-fashioned storytelling in driving business results with a little help from tech. Manos, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Manos. We're so glad to have you on, and a pleasure to see you virtually. One day I'll see you in person again, right?
New world, new ways of working. We're soon going to be together.
That's for sure. And you know, it's funny that you say that, because that leads me into my first question, because I know just from all of our past conversations that you have always been motivated throughout your entire career by the intersection of marketing, innovation, and technology. So let's talk for a minute about what that means to both your role and to the brands that you work with.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. It is one of my passion points. It's all about balance. That intersection that you talked about, you know, in innovation, technology, storytelling, it's all about finding what the right balance is. And I think as marketers, we do have the usual habit of letting the pendulum swing one way or the other a lot, right? So there has been a time, and I think we're close to that we've gone too far with technology mumbo jumbo and flashy terms and flashy words, and everything is about technology, everything is about this and the other. And you know what? Even the best technology in the world, in the wrong hands, it can be a disaster. So then on the other side, there's, you know, times when we go way too far on relying only on our creative instinct, right? So it's all about how I think or how you think about a certain campaign, a certain piece of content, and that sometimes is too far. So in my mind, it takes two to tango. You need both. You need the technology and have the tools that that are actually going to help you do a better job, but also you have to use your marketing gut, right? Your marketing feeling, and be good with that. And when you find the balance, and when you combine the two and the two dance together, this is when you have true innovation, and this is when you have superior performance and results. So that's what's close to my heart, and that's what I'm trying to do at Danone with my team. And so far, so good.
Now, is it hard though to find that balance? I mean, you make it sound like that some good marketers have a natural ability to find that balance, and I guess that balance is different for each brand. But what does it take to find that balance?
Yeah, no, it is hard. It is hard because it's very easy to either fall back to what you're usually doing and just do what worked and just keep replicating it because it's going to work again. It's very easy to do that. And on the other hand, it's very easy to bring the new flashy item, put your name to it and say, hey, you know what, this is my new tool and look at how it's going to work. So it's very difficult. What it takes to make sure that you get this balance. What it takes, I guess, is trial and error, and there is some risk taking in this. In the sense of, yeah, you have to be open. You have to have some sort of an experimentation budget. So all those new things that you want to bring in, yeah, sure, try them. But you don't have to start by trying them and applying them to your entire portfolio, right? Or your entire content process. You know, start small, try. Get the small wins, and then you start scaling the small wins into bigger things. So I think having a process that allows to do that, I think, is important. The other thing that I think is very important is have a culture in the team that allows for that balance. You do not need a team that's fully stacked with technology persons, and you do not need a team that's fully stacked with marketing leaning forward individuals, right? You need to just make sure you have a team that has both, has a little bit of one, a little bit of the other, so that all voices could be heard at the table when we're having the discussions around content. And then give them the air cover. Right? That's the role of leaders. That's the role of a leader of a marketing organization, is to provide their team with the air cover that they need in order to do some of this work and start showing the results. And then once you have the early wins, once you have start seeing results on things that you're trying, then just market the marketing, right? So start talking about it, do a good job, getting it through the organization, to management, out in the world, right? Make sure that what you're doing is equally as well marketed as any other product. So if you do those three things, the experimentation and have a budget and a process around it, the culture, make sure that the people actually are able and have the culture of doing that, and then give your team the air cover that it needs in order to become creative with this, I think that's a process that helps.
That's interesting. And again, you do make it sound easy. But I also think, given some of your past, that it might be also easier with some brands. I mean, you were able to be quite experimental in the past with some of the things that you did with Mountain Dew. And I recall even drone racing as part of that. So I guess some brands do lend themselves to more that. Of a balance one way or the other, you know, on the scale. But in addition to your passion point, as you say, about this intersection of marketing innovation and technology, I know that you also have a very big concern about how audiences are becoming what you call chronically distracted. Now, I know you've had some fun with this in some of your past industry presentations. But I think the statistics that you used recently was that 92% of online ads are simply not noticed, and 64% of people find ads today either annoying or intrusive. So what do you do as a marketer? How do you get around that?
Excellent question. And I honestly... this is the definition of insanity, right? This is exactly what Albert Einstein has said, right? We're doing the same thing and we expect different results. And I simply don't get it. We all get into this trip, and the numbers, it's not something that I only have or very few people have access to. Those numbers are so widely published, yet we continue down the same exact path. And I'll give you a very recent example. It's very striking. So there is a video on YouTube. You can Google it and see it, which shows the sea of sameness of advertising during COVID.
Yes.
It's a 4-minute video that has a compilation of probably 10 to 15 ads that are identical, but identical. You cannot be more identical. It's just crazy. Nobody's looking at it. Like, it's just background.
I've seen it. It's all, we're here for you. It's all about family.
Maybe
50 ads all spliced together saying the same thing.
It's crazy. It's not going to work for your brand. So I think there's three things that we absolutely need, right? One is just plain better storytelling, Just plain storytelling, like good storytelling, storytelling that's interesting. And for me, it's ideal when that storytelling is relevant to a popular culture moment, so to a pop culture moment, right? So you don't have to bleed those moments, but you have to be relevant. And no, you do not need as a brand to be involved in every popular culture moment there is. There is no reason whatsoever why a high protein yogurt absolutely needs to post something on Valentine's Day. Like, honestly, we don't. We absolutely don't. We're much better off staying with the NFL Super Bowl. That's where our product is relevant. That's where it's about protein. That's where it makes sense, right? So one, you need a better storytelling that is more culturally relevant. The second thing, you know what, is action versus talks. Like, enough of brands talking. Brands need to take action. People notice and appreciate brands that take action. And I can walk you later through examples of the things that we're doing, but when you actually do something, people are more inclined to listen to you and see what you're doing and be part of it and talk about it rather than just a blanket advertising message. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing that I always encourage the teams that I lead is I think we're at the point now where we have to start being owners of content rather than just buyers of content, right? Mm-hmm. So who says that a brand should not be part of a TV show, of the story plot of a TV show or a movie narrative, right? And we see very successful partnerships that have happened in the past on this. Some that I honestly don't like that it happened, like, you know, what has happened with cigarettes, for example, smoking and some of the shows at Netflix and other places where you've seen significant increase of that, right? It's a, you know, not a category that I would love, but it does happen, right? And we have other successful integrations of big brands into mainstream shows, etc., etc. So start being honor. It's okay. And you refer to the drone racing that we did back on my Mountain Dew days. Yeah, it's not a bad thing to actually own something. And you know, because then it becomes part of the storytelling, then it becomes part of the culture rather than just throwing an advertising message out there. So I think those are the three things that you need in order to do things better.
Well, that's one way of breaking through, and we will get to how you have broken through with a number of Dannon brands. But you mentioned something early on, and you talked about a tango. And yep. Which is an interesting dance. But you also, I think, have talked about an art meets science tango. And you've used that to talk about this balance again with storytelling in a tech first world. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And do you mean AI or what do you mean?
Marketing technology, general AI is a good part of that, but there's also other things that are important. Look, what I mean is machines are not going to replace humans anytime soon in terms of creativity, right? No, whatever machine you have, you cannot do the bubble butt spot that we did for Super Bowl. You just can't. A machine is not able to do that. You need humans to tell the stories, right? You need humans to create to do the creativity. Mm-hmm. But machines and technology are very, very good in getting you three things, getting you the insights. Mm-hmm. So be able to clatter through an incredible amount of data to get to a very solid insight, which we all know is the fundamental basis of any good creative, is a good consumer insight, right? Mm-hmm. So machines are very good at doing that. Machines are very good at optimizing content and mm-hmm. making sure that the story you're saying is as optimal in terms of its visual appearance as it possibly humanly can, right? Mm-hmm. So machines are great at that. And machines are usually great at deploying stuff, right? So machines don't sleep. Machines work 24/7. Machines can make thousands and thousands of iterations of A/B testing. So they tend to be pretty good at the deployment of content. And since what we are after is two things, showing up and stand out, I think machines and humans working together can help us do that. You just have to be very clear about the role of technology. Where I get very scared and very unease is when we're trying to use technology to completely replace creativity, or where we're using creativity as the solution to all of our problems. So that's where I get uncomfortable.
So again, back to that balance that you started with initially. You also said something very interesting, which again, I know that you have a skill for making the complex very, very straightforward, but you talked about showing up and standing out. Yeah. And talk about that a little bit more, and talk about that in terms of that bubble butt scenario that you mentioned. Yeah. And I think that might be one way to illustrate that.
Yeah, and I'll give you that, and I'll give you two examples. I'll give you okay. two examples that catch this very well, showing up and standing out. Right? So bubble butt, obviously, the Oikos 000 campaign that we did at Super Bowl is a perfect example. Like, we are at the Super Bowl. We're competing against giants. Everybody's putting $30, $40 million in. We have way, way, way less single-digit, low single-digit numbers. If you're going to be at the Super Bowl, you need to show up. Like, people need to notice. People need to talk about you. And if you don't have that big budget, what do you do, right? Again, you leverage technology in order to understand, to get to the insights better, which is what we did. But at the end of the day, technology is not going to get you there all the way. That's where creative brilliance comes in. And mm-hmm. we had the creative brilliance from Jeff Klein from Lightning Orchard that came to us and gave us a fantastic campaign focused on the butts of the NFL players and how protein is an important component of building that strength, right? It's a shortcut mm-hmm. to strength. And what a better way to showcase this? Well, it happened to be also at a Super Bowl when you had a fantastic halftime show that was mm-hmm. very, very visual. So you put mm-hmm. those two things together and that thing exploded. Now, we also use technology very well in order to take the message out, target the right people, amplify the message of our influencers, which came in the form of the NFL athletes. And the result was amazing. I mean, we ended up being a top five Super Bowl spot without even being on the Super Bowl technically on TV, because we aired digitally during the mm-hmm. halftime show and we aired in select regions across the US. So we managed to cut through, we managed to have billions of impressions, we managed to become a top five without spending anywhere near the huge amount of money. Why? Because we used very well the technology and we used very well the guy. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, but sometimes you don't have that creative breakthrough. You do not have the Effie award-winning type of creative, mm-hmm. but you have more basic stuff, which was our Light and Fit example, right? Light and Fit was a brand that was suffering for quite a while. It was a brand that was getting a bit outdated. Mm-hmm. You know what? We used fantastic technology. We got the great insights. The great insights led to a solid creative. Yep, not an award-winning creative, but solid creative mm-hmm. with add some light to your fit. We optimize that creative to death with technology, with algorithms, AI, make sure it's as visually impactful as possible. We created different options of it, and then we deployed a lot of technology in how we go out, how we do the targeting, the A-B testing, what works best. You know what? With 6 months, with very rational budgets, we were able to turn the brand around. And now we have a brand that's actually back growing again. Again, that was not on the back of an award-winning copy, but that was the back of having it straightforward, very good message, mm-hmm. backed up with fantastic technology, you make it work. So those
if I recall a little bit about that campaign, you actually were able to segment quite a number of different audiences.
Audiences, correct.
With different messages and so on. Exactly. And I think that's
where technology comes in, because it could give you that segmentation. It can go deep in what each segment needs, which means you can create creative that is more appropriate for that segment. You go, you target, you talk to them, much more focused, and then you have good results. So that's a very good example.
Now, does Dannon also have a very clear set of beliefs in terms of content strategy? Is that the same as storytelling, or is that just content strategy, or is that something you can share with us? I don't know if that's proprietary or...
it's not proprietary, and it's fundamental, but it's important. Look, our fundamental belief is that content is not about the stuff you make, it's about the stories you tell. Okay. And everything starts there. We're not trying to do more stuff. We're trying to say the right stories, okay. right? And yeah, we do go after after hearts before we go after minds. So that is important. Mm-hmm. The art meets science tango that we talked about is also an element of our strategy. Always on listening and optimization, very, very critical. Again, that's where technology comes in, and we can sleep, mm-hmm. but technology doesn't need to sleep. So always listening and optimizing is a very big part of it. And then finally, the point that I made earlier about capitalizing on cultural moments, but mm-hmm. not bleeding them dry. Have a right to contribute something meaningful in a discussion as a brand. We don't need just many brands just talking about stuff. We need brands that are contributing and have a purpose in what they do.
No, that's interesting. You mentioned the word purpose, and I do want to get to that. I just have one question that occurred to me. All of the work that you're doing with the different Dannon brands are very different. Although there must be something that does pull them together. Is it this sense of a content strategy or a storytelling strategy, or is it a sense of purpose, or what is it? Or is it both? I don't know.
No, it's a combination of two things. I think it's that the commonalities are in the process and in the purpose. Mm-hmm. So the process is very similar between all the brands, right? That interaction of technology with marketing gut, the way we're thinking, the way we're creating our plans and our content strategies, those are very uniform between all the brands. So that's a common element, which, oh, by the way, also creates some economies of scale, creates some, mm-hmm. some savings. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of technical things that are happening there, which mm-hmm. are positive. Mm-hmm. The second thing that is a common aspect is that big sense of purpose and the belief that we as brands need to act, not just talk, right? Mm-hmm. And that is very important for us. I mean, we are a company that has one of the strongest purpose vision statements that I've seen, which is our belief on one planet, one health. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring health through food to as many people as possible across the world, right? And that's the heart of it. That's all of our marketing goes there. And we actually do not just talk the talk, we walk the talk. See what we announced just a month ago around Horizon being the first mainstream big brand that will become carbon positive by 2025. Not negative, not neutral, carbon positive. Mm-hmm. That is a huge commitment, and you're doing that in a big scale brand like Horizon, right? Mm-hmm. Our biggest organic brand that exists in dairy in the US. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look at what we did with Too Good on Earth Week, right? Where we took all of the profits that we generated during Earth Week on Too Good, and we gave them back to Food Rescue. We gave them back to organizations that are about helping Americans that need right now more food, right? And not mm-hmm. let any food go to waste, which is super important at this super mm-hmm. critical times. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about brands that are actually doing things and they're mm-hmm. playing their purpose and they're acting on it. And yeah, if you do that, then you can talk about it.
That's very interesting. I have two questions for you that came out of that. I did a little research on Dannon and purpose for the ANA playbook, as you well know, the ANA playbook on purpose. And I was amazed that your original statement of purpose is quite old. I know the new one about new, but your executives were thinking about this a very long time ago when you really believed that business would give back. And I'm not sure, and that is so fundamental to your company. And I sometimes think that it would be nice if people knew that history.
If people knew that. Look, most companies, including my present company, are very bad at actually communicating these things. And I get it because, you know, how much do you want to talk about your corporate identity and your past and your history? Well, yeah, it's important, actually. You're absolutely right. It is very, very important. I mean, Frank Ribot, when he created the vision that we're working with that you mentioned, that was back over 40 years ago, right? Yeah. And he was thinking about things like that from back then, about the upside model and how we need to be much more much more societally focused if we want to survive as a business, right? And that even if you go even further back, just the mere fact of how our products were created in the beginning, which was to aid digestion, and you know, but yogurt first created, that was health, that was like health food, right? That was sold in pharmacies when it was first created. Mm-hmm. Look at the investment this company has done all these years into understanding the microbiome, into understanding digestion with Activia and the probiotics, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. the investment, I mean, those are some of these things are very long-term paying things, right? So you start a model and it takes, 10, 15, 20 years to mature. You start some research, it takes 5 years before you can even talk about it. But so we are thinking very long term, and yes, that purpose is very, very well ingrained into our
It seems it's so tremendously fundamental. I also wonder now, particularly in light of COVID and so on, it seems that purpose is now getting connected more with sustainability. And maybe it always was. It's just that I think that we're seeing so much more of a connection with business and the planet than ever before. And I know, again, Danone was ahead on many of those things, but are you seeing that as well? Is that changing the way your work with brands at all? I know it's action. So
no, you're right. And jury's out. Everybody's too focused right now on the health aspect. And you see a lot of people starting to talk about sustainability and how important it is. The research that we have so far with the responses, that's actual research from the last 5 to 6 weeks, is that, actually people not just want to have the discussion, but actually feel even stronger now about sustainability and purpose. And they see that, and they understand that, our impact to nature in general doesn't only have effects in terms of carbon emissions and what happens in the atmosphere, but the entire ecosystem, even all the way down to health related issues, right? So we see the conversation has not died down. If anything, it has picked up. So that is encouraging. That is like really encouraging for us, and I feel we would be in a great spot to take it.
It certainly sounds like it, and even just some of the things that you were talking about, what you've done just recently. So what are your business goals moving forward, other than getting back to the office?
Getting back to the office, yes. Start with the basics.
Seeing your team.
Humans again. See humans face to face again. Big thing. No, I'm not going to give you anything that you don't already know. Obviously, we want to make sure that our brands come out of it stronger than they were before. So it's not just about taking advantage of the situation. It's about having our brands truly do the right things, give back to society, do everything that we can as a company to help people get through this crisis, and then deliver on the commitments that we have to our shareholders, deliver on the commitments that we have to our investors. So results actually do matter, but they are results that need to come in the right way by helping our communities, helping our employees, the things that we've done as a company to make sure that we protect our frontline heroes, to protect our factories, the people that are putting food on all of our tables, right? Very, very critical workers. So first priority is keep them safe. Second priority is make our brands come out of this stronger. Third priority is deliver the bottom line. Those are the important things. If there's one thing that's keeping me up at night, quite honestly, Deb, it's the 33 million Americans that are without work right now.
Yes.
There's 33 million Americans without work. This is going to be a recession. This is going to be one of the most difficult times we go through as a nation. And we need to work together to make sure that no one is left behind. Companies and brands need to be in the forefront of that. That's not something that just the government can fix. We need to be together and make sure that no one is left behind out of this. So
I agree with you. And I think that so how can brands do that? What role can brands play?
Take action, put your money where your mouth is. Work, help. You don't have to yell and scream for doing it. Just do it. There's lots of things that we're doing that we're not talking about. Now is the time to keep doing it. Now is the time to be super active. If you want to talk about it, talk about it. But it's got to happen. It's got to happen.
Well, that is a fundamental change, and I think it's a welcome change, because I do think that more people all over the world are realizing that it's companies and brands that are helping to make a difference, and so many multinationals cross borders a lot more easily than obviously the jurisdiction of governments can. So that's an important note, and I think that we should probably end it there, because I think it's a significant note and a purposeful note. And I'm delighted to talk to you, as I always am. And I hope that you'll come back on the show and share some other ideas and share some of the other things that you've been doing. So thank you.
Thank you very much, and stay safe.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Manos. for being part of today's show and for being an essential part of our marketing community. You've inspired our listeners to consider today's content dance as an art meets science tango. Now back to Rick.
And thanks for joining us for another Internationalist Trendsetter Show hosted by Deborah Malone. To get further information on today's topic, visit the-internationalist.com, your trusted source for innovative marketing trends, best practices, aspiring to create new world standards. Have a great week.
This show is brought to you by Success Made to Last. Success Made to Last is a multimedia company with a focus on you and releasing your full potential. If you want to find out more information about all the programs associated with this company, go to successmadetolast.com.